I'm Marty Moscowain. Welcome back to Radio Times. If all goes according to plan, in 20 years, there will be 750 miles of interconnected trails for cyclists, joggers, and pedestrians to use in southeastern Pennsylvania and south New Jersey. Almost 300 miles have been completed so far. Philadelphia is a biking city, one of the largest in the country, which is obvious if you're a pedestrian or a driver or a cyclist. With warmer weather predicted and longer days of spring and summer, it's time to gear up for a conversation about biking in the Delaware Valley today and the plans for tomorrow. We have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Sarah Clark Stewart is a policy director at the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. Sarah, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
I should say to our listeners that last time you were on here, you were debating with Stu Bykofsky about cycling in Philadelphia. Also with us is Chris Lynn, and he's manager of environmental planning for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, and he manages the Regional Trails Program for the Commission. And Chris Lynn, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning to you. And we were talking about bicycling through this horrible winter that we've been having here in the Delaware Valley. And Chris, you were telling us that you pretty much bike to work, but was this a hard winter for you as a pretty regular commuter?
The weather was challenging this year. The snow really put a damper on my biking.
And for bicycle or cyclists that you know from the coalition, where people do people have sort of cycling fever?
Yes, I think there's a lot of pent up energy all throughout the region, and people are anxious to get back on their bikes on a regular basis. And the cold weather and the snow just really put a damper on everything.
And the ice and the fact that it seems to be going, including some snow for today. Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think for dedicated cyclists, the weather's always a challenge. It's one we'd like to try to rise up to.
Right. Yeah.
From your perspective, what makes Philadelphia a bicycling city?
Well, I think we have a fabulous bicycling culture, and the number of bicyclists that use the streets and facilities in our city has just continued to grow and expand. And I think it's just a really positive to see all those cyclists out there getting around the city by bike. And, of course, it just is a reality that it's really one of the easiest ways to travel around the city to use your bicyclist. You know, you don't have to hunt for parking or pay for it, and it's a lot quicker than walking or using transit.
How do you see this culture, as Chris says?
Well, I think it's very active and it's growing in popularity. The density of the city, the demographics of young people moving in and staying in Philadelphia has caused the culture to really grow. The city has great bones. It's got fairly narrow streets that keeps traffic going at a fairly slow rate, so it's fairly easy to ride with traffic. I think that for a lot of, especially young people, where owning a car is expensive and burdensome, that being able to ride to and from work or to and from school is a very viable option.
Do you use that mode of transportation yourself?
I do myself, yes, absolutely, and I have ever since I moved here. So it's not only is it easy and fast, it's the fastest way to get across town, but it's fun. It makes moving around lots and lots of fun, which for someone with a fairly stressful life, that's important to be able to have a few moments where
actual fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, did you want to add something to that, Chris?
Oh, yeah. It always makes you feel like a kid again.
Oh, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
About 280 miles of the 750-mile circuit or trail network is completed, yes?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a real exciting time for trails in the region. That figure you quoted is for the entire greater Philadelphia area, including the suburbs. And we've been building and constructing trails for many decades now. But due to the investments that all our partners have made, a whole network has really started to take shape. And several years ago, we realized that, we have a lot of long trails, and we can connect these into a single system. And how great would that be that you could get on a trail anywhere in a region, and really, if you're willing to ride far enough, really get anywhere by bike. And it's that connectivity, and that we're all working on a single project is really exciting.
And I'm thinking about 20 years hence, let's say you're in Princeton, you could bike to where? If this all falls into place.
You could bike to Philadelphia, you could bike to Downingtown, you could bike to Quakertown, you could bike to Wilmington. So you could really get to all the major destinations and centers in the region.
The trail network is really the last great transportation network that the region has yet to build, and it's doable, it's feasible, and it's really quite affordable in comparison to most other transportation networks, and it's the only one that's got room to expand. So to be able to get on your bike and go in any direction all day on bike is, I think, something that the region is in a unique position to be able to distinguish itself from the rest of the country and make it a feature that makes it competitive and attractive to keep people who want to move here, employers who want to attract new employees who want to live here. This network has the ability, I think, to do that.
Well, and Chris, I'm wondering about connecting. This is also I'm not congested, but there are a lot of people that live here, millions of people that live in the region, and certainly including South Jersey. Is it a matter of actually building trails, taking over abandoned railroad beds, and trying to connect the whole region that way?
Sure, that's one great opportunity we have for a lot of our long-distance trails is to use old railroad right-of-ways and railroad beds, and we have several examples of that in the region. The Chester Valley Trail that was recently built is a good example. So we have to take advantage of opportunities wherever they present, and that's part of what we do as bike planners and trail builders is look at those opportunities and figure out where we can acquire those rights-of-ways to build the trails and connect them up.
And I'm curious about, is there, especially since we're speaking regionally, not just Philadelphia, but is there buy-in when you look at the various townships in the region? Is everyone on board on this project?
We've had great support from our partners. As a regional planning agency, we work a lot with local governments and the counties and the municipalities. A lot of them have really stepped up and really been some of our strongest advocates for trails. Montgomery County took the lead several years ago and built really a fabulous countywide a trail network that really set the model for the rest of the region.
You wanted to that? Yeah.
Most of the nine counties now have a trail master plan or a bicycle pedestrian master plan, and that's the foundation for building out the circuit, because now that kind of work and effort and investment has been put into place to determine where the best routes should go, and it's now a matter of starting to put the investment in doing more intensive planning and then actually design and construction. So what's great is that when municipalities and counties work together, they can be much more successful in winning the kinds of public transportation dollars that are available to help build out the network. The City of Philadelphia and Camden were successful in 2010 in winning a $23 million federal transportation grant to build 10 trail segments throughout both cities. That probably was really only possible because both of them banded together. And the rest of the region has that potential as well. And many of these trails cross between counties and will only be successful if they're built in both, 2 to 3 counties. So there is a tremendous synergy now to work together and build out the network in that way.
And I'm assuming this includes things like bike lanes. So you might be on a trail, you might be in an old railroad bed, and you also might be on the side of a road somewhere.
Right. For that mobility by bike, it's important to build out the whole system. I like to think of the trail network as to bicyclists as the interstate system is to cars. But to really get around, the trails need to connect to bike lanes and bike-friendly roads and other streets that are good for riding.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's also important is that the trail network and the bicycle pedestrian road network has the ability to connect up with transit stops, and that will activate a lot more people to be able to bike to the a septa stop or bike home, and that will make the transit network even more successful, and enable it to attract people who may not SEPTA's parking lots are limited by just so they only have so much space. But if there's good trail connections so people could bike or walk to a train station, that is going to help increase that kind of multimodal mobility throughout the region.
Well, it's interesting because it's thinking about cyclists and pedestrians, I mean, sort of in the same sentence, right? It isn't that bikers are over here, pedestrians right. or walkers or joggers are over there.
Right. What's very important is that the trail network is a multi-use, right. multi-purpose system. So it's for many kinds of modes, not just one.
I'm curious, Chris, because you always hear about things like this when there's a plan for a bike trail, maybe even taking over an old railroad bed or an old road. And sometimes property owners say, look, I don't want cyclists, you know, riding through practically through my backyard. I want my privacy. What's an answer to that? How do you convince someone that this would be in their interest?
Sure, that's a common and legitimate concern for property owners that are adjacent to proposed trails, and we've certainly seen this in our region before. And for the trail builders and advocates to really go out and communicate with the community, with the neighbors, and really be open and transparent about the trail and what it will do and what it won't do, I think is, you know, important basis for creating a dialogue to put the fears of the community at rest. There's several examples in our region. The Radnor Trail, which is now a very successful trail. For a long time, the neighbors had a lot of concerns about this new trail that could potentially affect their environment. But you know, after a lot of discussion, the trail was built, and by you know all accounts, it's pretty much universally well loved by the community as well as those who back right up onto the trail. And once it's there, they realized their fears were unfounded, and now they have this great trail that they can just walk out their backyards and use as
was
well.
Was it fear of loss of privacy or fear that strangers would be bicycling near their house?
I think there's the fear of the other, that the trail users are the other, and they might bring unwanted or undesirable activities or even a fear of criminal activity to their community. But then, you know, they realize that the trail users are really the same as them, and they're just, you know, regular people who are riding and biking. In a way, it sort of creates more eyes on the street, so to speak, and creates a greater feeling of community and sense of place, which overall, I think, in the end, increases safety.
Very quickly, we're almost up on a break. Yeah, go ahead,
it's
Sarah.
Also increased property values, and in fact, a study was done on the Radnor Trail, and those homes that abut the trail have increased their property value by $69,000.
$69,000?
So trails can, in almost all cases, have turned out to be much better in many ways than nearby residents have assumed. There have been many cases where there's been a lot of fears, but they've been addressed.
And that's Sarah Clark Stewart, who joins us along with Chris Lynn. We are talking about biking in the Delaware Valley, the proposed 750-mile trail network here in the Delaware Valley. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. Tweet us at Marty Moss Cohen. We'll be right back.
The Center for Emotional Fitness supports WHYY. Bipolar 1 disorder. You take it day to day. The goods, the bads, the ups, the downs. You take it day to day. Your medication? You take that day to day too. But what if you only had to take it once a month? The Atlas Research Studies are evaluating a once-monthly investigational drug to help people manage bipolar 1 disorder. All study participants will receive study-related care and study drugs. To learn more, 866-DOC-LEON. That's 866-DOC-LEON.
If you're not a morning person, Morning Edition, NPR's weekday news magazine, is here to help with a checklist.
Well, you could start with a splash of cold water on your face.
That helps. Then there's the shower gel or shampoo and a cup of coffee. That's very, very important.
Oh, absolutely key.
But wait, we forgot.
Morning Edition.
Ah, yes, from NPR News. Be a morning person and have a smart day.
Weekday mornings on WHYY.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, if you were a crayon, what color would you be and why? That's an actual question being asked in job interviews right now as employers become pickier than ever. That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We're talking about the circuit, the 750-mile network of trails for cyclists and pedestrians here in the Delaware Valley, in the Philadelphia area, and also South Jersey. And again, talking with Chris Lynn, manager of environmental planning for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission. He manages this regional trails program for the DVRPC. Also with us, Sarah Clark Stewart. She's policy director for the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Again, send us an email at radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at Marty Moss Cohen and tell us what you think about all of this. I'm actually looking at something that was in the Inquirer a couple of months ago, looking at 13 trails approved for the Regional Greenway. And I'll put this to you, Chris, and I have to say some of the costs really surprised me. Delaware County, the Darby Creek Stream Valley Park Trail, 1 mile, $500,000. Philadelphia Cobbs Creek Connector Trails, half a mile, $275,000. I think for people that think, you know, you just throw down some macadam somewhere, that's not really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, trails aren't necessarily cheap to build, and one way to think of it is they're kind of like small road projects, and there's a lot that has to go into it in terms of taking it through the process to get all the approvals from the different agencies and then getting the land ready to build the trail. There's a lot of grading. You can have stormwater issues. Bridges might need to be constructed. So there's a lot that goes into building a trail, especially a multi-use trail that's paved and that, you know, accommodates a wide variety of users.
You want to add to that?
Well, I would just also say it is significantly less than building a road or
indeed.
A highway. So it's very good value for the money. These trails have a significant. They bring a lot of benefits, health-wise, recreation, economic development. So they generally return a lot more on a dollar-to-dollar basis than what's invested.
Is this connected into the plans to have bike people could bike from southern Canada to Florida? Is this all sort of part of that larger network?
Sure, I think you're referring to the East Coast Greenway.
The East Coast Greenway,
yeah,
exactly.
And that is a spine trail within our region's system, which we call the circuit, by the way. And that really is very much part of our network.
We got a tweet from a guy named Pete who said some in Radnor fought it for 10 years and now they love it. Just sort of underscoring what you say there. I want to talk to you, Sarah, about just in terms of Philadelphia, and we've done shows on this before about sharing the road and ensuring that if people are going to bicycle, use their bicycles, that, you know, essentially they abide by the rules. And I realize that the drivers go through red lights. I see it all the time. It drives me nuts. Pedestrians can also do kind of wacky things as well. But since we're talking about bicycling, the importance of
right,
you know, staying within the law.
Right. And so Pennsylvania treats bicycles as vehicles. So they are subject to the same rules of the road as cars are, but also the same rights. So bicyclists belong in the street, not on the sidewalk. Sidewalk riding is illegal. And bicyclists must obey all the rules of the road as a motor vehicle. Motorist must. As the population of bicyclists grows and as the bikeway network, the bike lane network gets better, more connected, gets safer. When we have higher quality bike lanes like on Spruce and Pine or 10th and 13th, behavior is going to continue to improve. And the Bicycle Coalition, through its volunteers, has done counts for many years, and we have found that those roads with a higher quality bicycle facilities have better behavior in terms of sidewalk riding and wrong way riding. So infrastructure is important, and that's why continuing to build out the network, which the city is doing as it repaves roads, they put in bike lanes, and making these lanes connected, that kind of behavior is going to become more normative.
And does it have a kind of calming effect on drivers as well?
It does.
Motorists?
It does. The more bicyclists you have on the road, the crashes go down. That's been documented in the literature. When spruce and pine bike lanes were put in, motor vehicle crashes went down 40%. So, in fact, those lanes had a tremendous traffic calming impact and made it safer for motorists. And that kind of calming effect is very important. The city suffers from numerous traffic fatalities on a yearly basis. 30 pedestrians die generally every year. And the more that can be done to make our roads safer, the better off everyone mm-hmm. will be.
You want to add to that, Chris?
Yeah, I think it's just important to remember that whether we're a bicyclist or a pedestrian or a driver, that we always remain courteous of other users on the road. And I think that just is a good way to operate on the streets.
So we're talking about this circuit, about 280 miles of trails that have been built. So what's the next level? So what's the next phase of this?
Sure. So there's currently about 60 miles of trails in progress, and some of the ones that we're more excited about and some listeners may know about are the Schuylkill River Boardwalk that's under construction now, that's extending the Schuylkill River Trail to South Street, and hopefully will be done the end of this construction season. There's also a trail planned to go across the Manayunk Bridge that would connect the Kinwood Trail to the to downtown Manayunk and the canal towpath there. That project is also slated to go to construction this year, and we're really excited about that project. The experience and the views from that bridge are really breathtaking. There's a lot of other trails that are being built among that 60 miles out in the suburban counties and in the parts of the Chester Valley Trail, the Schuylkill River Trail in Phoenixville, as well as over in New Jersey, the Lawrence Hopewell Trail, the Concora Trail is a new trail in Burlington County that we're really excited about. So folks are going to see a lot of things coming online in this year and in the coming years. Looking forward, there's still 400 miles of the system that remain to be built, and we're working on that.
Which is why this is a 20-year project, right?
Because
it takes time. Do you want to add to that, Sarah, and then we'll get to our callers?
I think that's what we're working so hard to do is to try and maintain the level of investment at the county, at the state, and federal level. That's what's going to build out the circuit and keep us going at a rate of hopefully 20 miles per year. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, one thing that's important to note is that there are programs and funds available to really help invest in these trails. One of them, for example, that's available right now through DVRPC is called the Transportation Alternatives Program. And this has about $7.5 million just for southeastern Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's specifically for bike and pedestrian projects, and trails are great examples of that. And there's also $15 million available statewide in New Jersey. And it's really nice to have these programs that dedicate money towards building trails.
We have an email from Bridget. Do you have plans for any security along the trails? Is that something that you've thought about, Chris?
I think that's an important component in the design of any trail, and it depends upon its context, and you have to think about design issues and lighting and access and the kinds of communities and users that are nearby. So you're not going to have a patrol person out there 24 hours a day. It's like any park. Oftentimes you're on your own. But I think it's an important element of the design process.
You want to add to that, and then we'll get to our callers.
I think that the trail system has been very safe up to now, and I think the expectation is that with good design that it'll maintain that level of safety.
And that's Sarah Clark Stewart, Policy Director for the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. Also with us, Chris Lynn, Manager of Environmental Planning and the Regional Trails Program for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission. We're talking about something called the Circuit. Again, the 750-mile network of trails for cyclists, for pedestrians, for the Delaware Valley, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. We have Barbara, and Barbara's calling us from Mount Airy. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, I'm just picking my husband up from physical therapy. He was hit by a car while he was biking.
Oh,
and I know you're trying to use good design and nudge theory to get cyclists and drivers to do the right thing, but you need a much more public campaign to get drivers to look for cyclists, to realize that they're there. It's not just sharing the road, but when cyclists are crossing the road. That's
sure.
All.
Yeah. Well, Barbara, how is your husband doing?
Oh, it's going to take a long time.
So he was pretty badly hurt?
Yes. If you remember, Mayor Nutter on Halloween picked up a cyclist from the side of the road.
That was your husband. Oh, my goodness. That was months ago.
Yep.
And he's still recovering.
Oh, yeah.
Well, wish him luck for us. And I do appreciate the phone call. And I want to give Sarah a chance to respond. Thanks, Barbara.
That crash happened on Martin Luther King Drive, and that was it's not a good intersection, and improvements need to be made to enable the crossing there of Martin Luther King Drive to be safer. There is a lot of room for improvement to make the road safer for all users, but bicyclists and pedestrians are in particular very vulnerable, and especially on roads like Martin Luther King, which unfortunately have a considerable amount of speeding. The speed limit is 35 miles an hour, and most people are going at 50.
At least.
That was a very unfortunate. Any crash is very unfortunate, but wish him Godspeed and hope he gets well soon.
Indeed, and we're talking about something that happened months ago, and he's still getting therapy for it. I was reading about something called vulnerable user laws. The idea, and I think Delaware might have them or considering them, but as a way of protecting cyclists and pedestrians. I'm looking at both of you. Do you know?
Well, I think these laws, the spirit behind them is that the most vulnerable user on the road is given a certain amount of rights, and that if they are hit by a car or a motor vehicle, that the onus of responsibility is on the motorist, their passage helps raise the issue and raise their profile that these road users need to be accorded more protection because they are so much more vulnerable.
And those laws are common in some European countries that have more advanced cycling cultures, where the more vulnerable user is often assumed not to be at fault in crash situations, but it really helps protect protect vulnerable users and increases the level, a sense of responsibility for those who operate a motor vehicle.
Let me see what Jean from Doylestown has to say. Jean, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
Are you there?
I am. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
So if you're a civil engineer, where do the talented civil engineers go to contact people to get involved with these bike building trail projects?
And are you one of those talented civil engineers, Jean?
No, but my son is.
Your son is. Okay. Let me give Chris a chance to respond.
Well, we love talented civil engineers, and we welcome all the talent we can get. So we do encourage him to get involved in building trails. There are a lot of wonderful design and engineering firms that we work with who are our partners, and we'd be happy to put you or him in touch with any of them. They really make these projects possible, and we couldn't do anything we do without that technical talent.
Gene, thanks for the call to Radio Time. Sarah, let me go back to you. I was just in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, and I saw those bikes that you can, rent and sort of essentially explore the city and drop them off. Where does that stand in Philadelphia?
So
New York has it as well, as we know.
Right. Many cities throughout the country have bike share. Philadelphia is working hard towards putting out its own system, and the intent is to do it, I think, in late 2014. I believe that what they are looking at is a system between 1,000 and 2,000 bikes at stations from South Philadelphia up to North Philadelphia and across Center City into West Philadelphia. And it's very exciting. We at the Bicycle Coalition are super excited about what this is going to do. It's going to add a lot more bicyclists to our roads, and with that, it's going to change the city's culture. And it's been extremely popular and provided a lot of great benefits in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and Denver, and Boston, and Chicago. So we're very excited that Philadelphia is going to be joining the ranks of cities with bike share systems.
Although, you know, at the back of the pack, at least as you describe those particular cities. I worry, though, about people renting these bikes that really don't know how to bike in a city.
Well, I think that's, you know, a legitimate and well-founded concern, but one thing that I would point to is with the New York City bike share system called City Bike, millions of people have jumped on bikes and ridden out into Manhattan traffic, you think would be a recipe for disaster. But to date, and you know, knock on wood, there hasn't been a single fatality in the entire history of the program thus far. And that's really encouraging. And I don't even personally know of any really, really serious injuries. But
I think there were only 3 injuries out of nearly 600,000 trips in New York City. So I think the city is well positioned with a pretty good bikeway network that gets better every season. And I think that, safety is always a concern, and the cities and the Bicycle Coalition are committed to working hard to do the kind of outreach and education with whoever the vendor is to ensure that people, have the kind of information that they need to be able to use the bike safely.
About a minute before our second break here, just a quick question about bike racks. I've seen some of them designed by artists. They look very, very cool, Sarah.
Yes. So the Bicycle Coalition won a matching grant from the Knights Art Challenge and put out a contest for art bike racks. There were 10 winning designs. 7 of those designs were displayed at the Flower Show. And 9 of those designs are at City Hall right now in the gallery. So they are going, it was a matching grant, so funds had to be raised to be able to fabricate and install the racks. And they will be at various locations around Philadelphia, including the Cirrus Center, Cafe Crut, the Pearlman. So we're very excited to see the racks when they are finally installed in their rightful locations.
Well, let's take that short break and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about bicycling in and around Philadelphia here in the Delaware Valley, talking with Sarah Clark Stewart, a policy director at the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia, and with Chris Lynn. He's manager of environmental planning and the Regional Trails Program, the circuit for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, also get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Does your son or daughter come home drunk or high? Would you like to learn new ways of dealing with their drug or alcohol use? The Family Training Program works with parents of children aged 12 to 25 to help them maintain control of their child's drug or alcohol problem. Held in Philadelphia and the Main Line by the Treatment Research Institute, a supporter of WHYY. More on the Family Training Program at 877-I-WORRY-2. That's 877-I-WORRY and the number 2. Or online at iamconcerned.org.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. If you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes on our show, here's your chance to find out. On a special Fresh Air broadcast, Friday, March 28th, our producers and I will answer your questions about how we put the show together. To submit your questions, go to the website whyy.org/askfreshair. That's whyy.org/askfreshair. So tell us what you want to know, then tune in March 28th.
Does a mission to preserve and increase the value of shares get in the way of a mission to preserve and increase the value of the environment?
I came into BP right out of business school, really idealistic, but the day-to-day is pretty small.
Lessons about corporate ethics learned while at BP. That's the conversation next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowing. We're talking about biking here in the Delaware Valley with Chris Lynn and Sarah Clark Stewart. We're talking about the circuit, and we've had a lot of interest in how to get more information about the circuit. They have a website, connectthecircuit.org. You can go there. You can see maps. You can get all sorts of information about what this network looks like now and, I guess, where it's going as well. Do I have that right,
right.
Sarah?
It has the status of every trail and every segment of trail throughout the nine-county region. So you can see what's complete now and then what's coming online soon. There's also it's also a way for you to be able to plan a trip. There's a trip planner function on the map, on the website, and so you can put in locations where you want to go. Google is also very good for that. So there are various platforms where you can figure out how you can chart a route to go from one place to the next.
Chris, we had a couple of calls. People want to know, well, when can I bicycle from Delaware or maybe even Chester, city of Chester, to Philadelphia? Can they do that yet?
Well, that's a good question. We had mentioned the East Coast Greenway before, and that route would take you from Wilmington in the state of Delaware up through Delaware County and Chester City into Philadelphia, and some of those trails and trail segments are coming online. We're building some bike lanes in those areas now, but it's a project in the works, and it's going to take some time to build a full trail there. So it's you need to navigate the roads a bit right now to complete that trip.
Let me get looks like Tahira to join us from Lawrence Township. Hi, Tahira. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
It's very exciting. We've been working on that Lawrence Hopewell Trail for over 13 years, and it's almost completed thanks to grants from DVRPC. We are very excited. And this is not just the trail. It's a community building process, when you do that sort of thing. It's connected not just Lawrence and Hopewell, but also all the towns around it. And also many other towpaths and open spaces that we have in the area. So it's not just a bicycle ways, it's really a community building process. And we're very excited to have that in Mercer County, which is the northernmost county of DVRPC.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. First of all, I appreciate the call to Radio Times, and let me give Chris a chance to respond to your comments.
Yeah, well, Tahir, I think you make a great point, and thanks for the shout out. But trails really are about building community. And one thing that I like to think about, you're much more likely to say hi to a fellow user on the trail than you are on the highway. And I think that's one of the great benefits of trails and using them to get out and experience your community and travel around. And we're excited about the Lawrence Hopewell Trail, too.
But what I hear also from Tahira's call, and thanks for calling in, Tahira, took 13 years. I mean, it takes a lot of planning and, I guess, patience and dealing with lots and lots of questions about things like this.
Yeah, some of these trail projects can be complicated. In the land that where you site the trail, you often have to acquire rights to the property, and that can take time.
I would just add that I can't take credit for this, but the trails are really the 21st century town green. That's where people come together and see each other and talk to one another and connect, and that kind of community connection is really important when people are so busy and they aren't out walking around as much as they have in the past. So they provide that kind of community connection that is really absent especially in our suburban community.
I'm curious about, Chris, whether there's a city you've been in that you see as a kind of, or region or area that's kind of a model for this, or are we such a sort of unique part of the world that we're going to create our own kind of network?
Well, I think the circuit as a trail network, when it's completed, will be a singular system, and will really put Philadelphia in the lead among North American cities in having this trail network that extends across the region. Every city's different. Some cities have a lot more trails than others. Of course, Portland is often cited as the role model for the development of trails and bike facilities, and they do have a lot of great trails that go through the city. Minneapolis is another example. Mm-hmm. There's some smaller cities like Madison, Wisconsin, and Boulder, Colorado, that have put a lot of effort into building trails and bike facilities that connect across the community. So, there are others we can look to.
We have Larry from Bucks County joining us on Radio Times. Larry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Chris. I was on the RCC for a while. Glad to hear you on, and biking is something that's very dear to my heart.
Great.
I live in Warminster, and I've been working in the Ivyland area for the last 12 or 14 years, and there are no bike paths in Warminster. I'm actually working on a private-public partnership for creating a trail from Warminster from Ivyland to New Hope, and at the same time, I can't access any of these trails because it's worth your life to ride street road.
Mm. What?
And I know that there have been problems all along with planning and trying to get bike paths put in where roads are being widened or improved.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. What do you say, Chris?
Yeah, biking in some suburban communities where they really weren't designed for that activity can be a real challenge, and it's a challenge to retrofit those communities to make cyclists feel more welcome and accommodated. And certainly we work on that with a lot of our planning projects, and when we work with our partners, and the Bike Coalition is very active in that realm too. But it's great that, you know, folks like Larry are voicing that concern and creating that demand that, you know, people everywhere in all communities want access, and they want the ability to use different modes to get places. And that's really the first step in creating facilities and making giving folks the ability to bike in these different communities.
Larry, thanks for the call to Radio Times. We have some nervous tweeters here. It could be dangerous going from Maniunk down from Belmont Hills. I guess because it's a long incline. That could be dangerous. Someone said, could bicyclists sue a homeowner if they were riding through their property? I mean, it sounds like a lot of very nervous people out there. I'm looking at you, Sarah.
Well, when these trails are built, the right of ways are, they're not going through private property.
Right,
they're,
exactly.
They're on public property, and they are built and designed with that kinds of issues of incline and decline in mind. Adjacent property owners are not really going to be subject to being sued.
And hills are just sort of part of bicycling.
Hills are part of it, they're. We have hills, we can't get around them.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of people I talk to when I say I rode here by bike, and they often say, like, oh, that's great, I'd ride by bike, but I'm too scared with all those cars out there is often the number one thing cited. And there is somewhat of a perception of fear that bicycling is dangerous, and there's no single easy solution to get over that fear that folks have. But I think it's really worth the discussion, because I think it's not as dangerous as people think it is. And certainly building these trails and facilities will give people a safe place to ride and get an experience. And, people should go out and learn to ride with others who they're comfortable with, who have been out on the roads. It's just like learning to drive. Once you get over that hump, you feel much more comfortable. But I think it's we don't want to stress this culture of fear. Once you get out there, it's not as dangerous as people think it is.
And in fact, Bike trips have tripled over the past several decades, and bicycle fatalities have dropped over like 65%. So the more people who get out and bike on roads, the safer those roads are. We would like to see zero deaths, zero traffic deaths completely, from whether you're a motorist,
sure,
a pedestrian, or a bicyclist. And
sure,
that is a great vision. In some parts of the world, it's called Vision Zero. New York City has starting to implement a Vision Zero policy. That is something that we would love to see the next mayor adopt that. But there's always things that can be done to make our roads safer for everyone. Traffic deaths and injuries are not something that have to be tolerated.
And may I suggest that if you're driving a car, when the light goes red, you stop. You don't go through a red light. Let me get Ted from South Jersey to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Ted. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, thanks to the Bicycle Coalition. You've done such great work, and I get to use some of those trails and love it. I've tried twice, once in Fairmount Park and once along the Manayunk Trail, to call 911. Once was a woman who apparently had been drugged and left overnight along the trail.
Wow.
And another time I was following what looked like the fellow who had attacked several women in Fairmount Park. He was biking, and I was keeping track of it. And in both cases, the 911 people didn't know. I couldn't give them exact locations. And so they were very unhelpful. And in fact, in one case, hung up on me. Thought it was a crank call. Now, why don't we have a system where, say, every eighth of a mile, there is a sign posted with a number, let's say, three-digit number for emergency identification. So for Philadelphia County, it might be 1, followed by 2 other numbers, and say, I'm calling, I'm close to 132, and we need an emergency vehicle here for such and such a reason.
Well, Ted,
that would help safety.
Sure. Let me see what Sarah has to say.
And that's a great idea. And, in fact, along the Schuylkill River Trail, that kind of system has put in place. The Schuylkill River Heritage Area has worked with Montgomery County and the Philadelphia Parks and Rec Department to put up signs that have those kinds of locator numbers all along the entire Schuylkill River Trail. I think that emergency responders and dispatchers are being trained to understand that system better. It's very important, and I think efforts have been made and are being made to institute that kind of emergency response system.
Ted, thanks for the call. Let me get Allison from Downingtown to join our conversation. Hi, Allison. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hi.
My concern is the safety issue for the rideshare programs and helmet use. Where will the helmets come from?
Do you know the answer to that, Chris?
Sure, I'll take a stab at that. It's a challenge with any bike share system. The helmet question is often comes up and is much talked about. What to do about that? Most bike share systems do not require helmet use. It's just while it seems to make sense, it's too difficult to implement practically. Some systems have created basically vending machines to dispense helmets that you can take when you pick up a bike. Still not required. But once again, the experience with a lot of bike share systems is that despite the lack of helmets, there really have not been a rash of any kind of serious head injuries as a result. I mean, we certainly advocate using helmets.
I'm sure you do when you bicycle.
I always wear a helmet when I ride. But you know, it is a challenge with the bike share system.
We got a tweet from Sam about cyclists obeying traffic rules. He said he just got back from Paris, saw several cyclists being ticketed for not following the rules. And I'm assuming, Sarah, that you wouldn't be in support of that.
Yes, yes. The Bicycle Coalition is in support of equitable enforcement for all users, and the City of Philadelphia has worked with the police department to conduct enforcement in 2011 and 2013, and many tickets were written to both motorists and cyclists. So enforcement is very important, mm-hmm. and enforcement plays a critically important role in helping instill this sense that rules of the road must be obeyed or there will be a consequence, and that is very important. So we do support, as long as it's not singled out, that cyclists are singled out or unduly concentrated on, it has to be equitably done in order for it to really be effective.
I don't know how old you'll be in 20 years, but are you going to see this project through, Chris?
The circuit?
We've been talking about?
Yeah, as you mentioned, a lot of these projects take a long time to come to fruition, but hopefully we'll see it completed in the next 20 years. And what's happened in the last 5 years has been a really encouraging sign to see so many of these projects coming on. But regardless of what happens, we're going to keep moving forward and keep trying to build these projects and build the support for them and really engage the public in this discussion.
Yeah, I think the public plays a very important role. The folks out there who want better paths, want to see the trails connected, say that to your elected official. It makes a very important difference if they know that there is a demand for these kinds of facilities. I just also wanted to mention that in addition to the public investment that's been made, the William Penn Foundation has made a very important private investment in the region's trail network and in the circuit. That kind of investment has had huge leverage power and potential. And we work with Chris and DVRPC and with the Pennsylvania Environmental Council and many other organizations. We're working together very hard to try and leverage as much investment as possible. And we are in here for the long haul, most definitely.
Well, quickly.
It's important to note the region has invested hundreds of millions of dollars, to date to build the trail system that it has. And folks like William Penn Foundation have really stepped up to support the development of the circuit. But we need to continue engaging the public to, let our elected officials know that these trails are in demand.
Well, we have been talking about the circuit. You can go to connectthecircuit.org to find out all about this 750-mile network of trails proposed here in the Delaware Valley. Chris Lynn, thank you very much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. Manager of Environmental Planning for the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, Sarah Clark Stewart, thank you very much as well. And she's a policy director at the Bicycle Coalition of Greater Philadelphia. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. You can continue the conversation on our homepage. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and you can download a podcast of the show as well. Al Banks, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Builder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.